Coming off a bounce-back win against the Bears, Gary Kubiak set the tone for this week on Monday.
Brock will start this week, and I'm going to tell you, just like I told you last week, we're all in on the next game, and that's New England.
Brock Osweiler will look to make his second start even better than the first.
Osweiler throws to the end zone. Touchdown, Denver!
As the defending Super Bowl champs are coming to town, but a little banged up.
Danny Amendola is being looked at.
Three and out starts right now.
Hey, he is right there, Brock Lee!
Thank you for joining us for this week's Three and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. There's plenty to talk about with Peyton Manning, Brock Osweiler, and the defending Super Bowl champions coming to town, so let's get things started with First Down. Time for First Down, and now we're joined by Andrew Mason, who last week was battling a sore throat. This week, a little case of the chipmunks.
I had a tooth pulled out, so I've got a big bruise here, of course. Going with No Shave November, you probably can't see that.
Disclosing your injuries.
I'm disclosing my injuries, yes, but I'm going to play through it. I promise you that.
I appreciate it. So let's talk about Peyton Manning. Yesterday we heard head coach Gary Kubiak say that he was in Charlotte getting a second opinion on his foot.
Yeah, Dr. Robert Anderson was the physician that Manning was seeing, and he's widely regarded as the preeminent foot and ankle expert, you know, dealing with athletes in this country. A lot of distinguished athletes have had surgery with him, including Brandon Marshall. So you go to the expert, kind of the Dr. James Andrews of feet,
exactly,
basically. And you know what happens from that, I think, may determine the course of action for Peyton Manning going forward, and whether you're looking at it being week to week or something longer than that. What we do know right now is he's not going to play on Sunday. And I think the other thing to consider is that I don't think he's going to be back out there until he's healthy. I don't think you're going to put a half speed Peyton Manning back on the field. So we'll see. For the moment, it's Brock Osweiler starting against New England.
Yeah, definitely. The team taking it week by week with Peyton Manning right now. Head coach Gary Kubiak also said that getting a second opinion was not an unusual thing, as the two stay in constant communication.
Peyton's frustrated with the fact that he's injured. You know what I mean? That's hard for him. But he's been great with me. We had a good long conversation. We've had many. We talk all the time. That part is frustrating for him, but he is very excited for his football team. He's happy for his team that we won a big game yesterday. And I can tell you that he is doing everything he can possibly do to get himself healthy and get back in position to get back on the field.
Time for Second Down, and now we're joined by Matt Boyer. Let's talk about Brock Osweiler's performance. What a way to start off his first start.
He couldn't have done it much better than that, right? 20 for 27, two touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of 127.4. Pretty remarkable for your first NFL start, but the one thing that stood out to me most importantly was 43% on third down. We talked about it earlier in the week with Mace and the guys, especially on our pregame show. He needed to keep his composure, and he needed to establish the running game in order for him to do that. And I think they did that early on. CJ got going, Ronnie got going, and I think that allowed Brock to flow into a rhythm. The early score helped too, just to get him going and to really establish that rhythm throughout the entire game.
Yeah, most definitely. The Broncos running game got going. More than 170 yards there. He also got the tight ends involved too, right?
Corinne Davis and Owen Daniels really played a big role. Vernon had six catches for over 60 yards, I believe. Yep. Owen had a great game as well, and both of them talked about Brock in the locker room after the game, the connection that they felt. Vernon was especially lauding praise onto Brock just because the connection that they had established when Vernon first got here, Brock kind of took him under his wing, stayed late, threw him some passes, and I think that really showed with Vernon getting across the middle. He also credited DT for opening things up for him just because Emmanuel was out. They focused on DT, and Owen and Vernon really got whatever they wanted throughout the game.
Well, Osweiler also played a clean game, as head coach Gary Kubiak likes to say. No interceptions for a first start, can't beat that. There was a lot of pressure on him, but Brock said he just blocked out that outside noise.
One thing that I have learned in my 3.5 years and watching Peyton and watching this football team is you need to close out that outside noise. And kind of like I told you guys on Wednesday, at the end of the day, it's just a football game. And I think when you can focus on the task at hand, you know, one play at a time, one drive at a time, one game at a time, and not get too caught up in what's going on outside, you know, because none of that's going to, you know, dictate what happens in the football game. And I think that's what we did today. You know, we blocked out that outside noise and we got the job done.
Time for third down, and now we're joined by Ben Swanson. And gosh, that sweater looks awfully familiar.
It's a good look charm. What can I say?
It's a good looking sweater. I mean, if it works, keep going with it, right?
The best sweater I have.
Yes. Okay, well, let's talk about the Patriots coming into town, Super Bowl champs, and not to mention they're 10-0.
Well, sure. I mean, the record is what you look at first for a team, and nothing speaks louder than no losses. But they have had a lot of close games. Recently, Monday Night Football, they beat Buffalo by 7 points. Injuries are starting to pile up for them, though. So, you know, Deion Lewis has been out. Danny Amendola got hurt Monday with a knee injury. We'll see how bad that is. Julian Edelman has also been ruled out for the season. So they're starting to pile up for the Patriots. They're certainly not invincible, but they do a lot of things well. They pass the ball well. Their defense is very effective. They get the quarterbacks. And with a Bill Belichick coach team, you expect all that in a very sound team.
Yeah, Tom Brady leads the league in passing yards. He has 25 touchdowns to just 4 interceptions. And while some of his targets are getting hurt, like Amendola and Edelman, they still have Rob Gronkowski, right?
Oh, yeah. But he's coming off the worst game of the season so far that he's had. Somehow the Bills managed to hold him in just 37 receiving yards. You'll have to think they'll be looking to get him going against the Broncos. I remember last year he had that amazing catch over the middle.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very, very dangerous player, and they'll be looking to get him going.
Well, this game is actually going to be in Denver, not in Foxborough, so that'll be something a little different. And definitely inside the Broncos locker room, they know this game's a little extra special.
Thing with Gronk, man, he's like, I mean, he's a freak. So, I mean, there's nobody really can shut him down really one-on-one. You can see that today. I think he already has 10-plus touchdowns. So it's about just fighting him and battling. So whoever wants to go out, whoever faces Gronk is going to have to fight the whole game. So that's as long as we have a guy that's going to be competitive, I like our chances.
It's juice because it's the Patriots. You know, they're the quote-unquote best team on the planet, you know. Team of the decade, team of the ages. They can go play with any other team in any era. That's how they look at it. That's how people look at it. But it's always juice when you play in the Patriots.
It's time for fourth down, so let's punt things over to our social media department and Scott Ward.
All right, thanks, Phil. Lots of good questions this week, and we'll jump right into them. First one is for Mace. It is from Nick Miller. He is at Miller Nick M. If the team decides to re-sign Brock, and in parentheses, Nick says he's for that, when should they do it, and for how long? Mace.
It's a good question, Nick, and it's one that we may learn the answer to, I think, in the next several weeks. If you look at Brock Osweiler, he's got one start under his belt, so let's not go jumping to conclusions here. But go back a few years to when Seattle gave Matt Flynn a big contract after he had some good performances for the Packers in relief of Aaron Rodgers. He got $26 million over 3 years with $10 million guaranteed. I don't necessarily think Brock Osweiler is going to be that high because that was regarded league-wide as a bad contract. But at the same time, I think he stands to get a substantial deal based on the potential he's already shown. And then we'll see what he does going forward. You know, I think the Broncos would like him back. They, you know, John Elway has been consistent over the years saying that Osweiler is the quarterback of the future. You know, maybe not $26 million, but maybe you're talking about a 3-year, $18-19 million contract. Maybe you give a high percentage of that guaranteed to entice Osweiler to stay, and then that gives you a chance to find out whether he is the quarterback of the future or not. Because even if he does exceptionally well in his starting time with the Broncos this year, I think there's still going to be some questions because, you know, it's always first time as a full season starter. If that happens next year, how does he react to it? And how do teams game plan him with a lot more film? There's a long way to go on Osweiler, but certainly it wouldn't surprise me if he's re-signed at some point.
All right, Mace, thanks. You look like a chipmunk. Always a trooper. Next question is from Daniel Gonzalez, our number one fan. He is at Daniel Gonzalez 8. Why announce Brock as a starter to the media and not only to the team to gain a competitive advantage for the Pats? Marty.
Look, this is the NFL, and this week's opponent brings in one of the arguably greatest professional football strategists in Bill Belichick. There's not really anything that Bill is not going to be unprepared for, so Peyton versus Brock, he's going to have everything game planned. He will be prepared. I think, most importantly, though, you need to control what is within your own building and what's within your own control. I think that controlling the locker room first and foremost is crucial, just because now that you've announced Brock as your starter, you're able to say, okay, this is our guy. You take the focus away from Brock, you take it away from Peyton, and now it's just the Patriots. All the guys need to do this week is focus on the Pats, think about their offensive or defensive game plan, and really just kind of head in that direction. It worked last week. Gary Kubiak came in and announced that Brock was going to be the starter on Monday, and it eliminated any type of distractions. If it's not broke, don't fix it, and I think the formula will work again this week.
All right, thanks, Monty. You're really starting to fit in around here. Final question is for Ben. It is from John Quist. He is at Q Av Fan. When can we expect DeMarcus Ware back? Swanee.
Well, that's a good question. Thanks for submitting it. It's kind of tricky. You know, back injuries are very finicky. The Broncos have been missing him. They'd love to see him back out there with that pass rush around the edges. He missed some time earlier this season, missed a couple games and a half against the Raiders, and came back for the Green Bay game, played the first quarter or so of the Indianapolis game. So far he's missed about the same time that he took off before, once he added in that bye week. So would they love to see him back there against New England? Of course, but you don't want to rush him back, certainly. You want him for that playoff push. And, you know, this week we'll just have to wait and see. It's week to week. I'm sure he's feeling better day to day. And I'm sure we'll get an update as the week goes on, but it's hard to speculate when he'll be back.
As usual, you guys are always top notch. Show's really over, but just send it back.
Thank you very much, Scott. That's going to do it for us. Special thanks to Andrew Mason, Matt Boyer, Ben Swanson, and Austin Brink behind the camera. That's been this week's Three and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.